Amen. You happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Pugh. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity that you give us, Lord. Lord, I never want to get to a place to where I take Sunday morning for granted, Lord. Lord, there's places in the world, Lord, where, Lord, they'd had to have met in secret to have had any kind of meeting at all. There's those, Lord, that meet in places, Lord God, that makes this place we have, Lord, look like a cathedral. Lord Jesus, I know you bless them. Lord, here we stand, just a small, humble little group. I ask, dear God, for your blessings upon us this morning. I pray, God, that you'll lead me. Lord, anoint me, dear God. Let me yield completely to you, that you may come, Lord, and bless your people and strengthen them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Last Sunday, we ministered on failure to launch. And this Sunday, I'd like to minister on launching out. Praise the Lord. Luke 5, verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they come and helped them, and they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. You may be seated. I mentioned something about this last Sunday, that it was a very peculiar thing for Jesus to say to a group of fishermen. These weren't fishermen on the bank with the line in the water. These weren't men that were out there fishing with cane poles or whatever. They'd done this for a living. This wasn't a pleasure or a pastime. This is what they did. This is how they made their living. This is how they fed their families. This was their job. This is what they did for work. Their work hours weren't based on time. In other words, this wasn't no 9-to-5 job. It was when the fish was there. They had to watch the weather. They had to watch the winds. They had to watch the tides and everything. And they knew what to look for. And they knew where to go and where to fish. And what they were basically telling the Lord was, we've been out there, there's no fish out there. There's none out there. But, I looked at it and I thought, what if they hadn't followed his word? What if they hadn't launched out? Well, there'd have been a whole lot of things in the Bible that never would have happened. There would have been a whole lot of things that never would have happened. And I thought of that, and I thought about how that the Lord wants us to launch out into faith, launch out into the depths of his word. And God has a place for each and every one, and God has, we're here. God puts us here, and we each have a purpose that we have to serve. prophet of God once said that death can't take you until you've served whatever purpose God sent you here for. So each and every one has a purpose to serve. And once they've served that purpose, then it's graduating time. It's time to go on home. It's not a time of sadness and sorrow. It's a time of sadness and sorrow for us. But I'll tell you this, friends. We sorrow, and I've said this, and I don't mean it in any disrespect, but when we lose someone, we sorrow for our loss. We're not sorrowing for what where they've went. We're not sorrowing that they're now on the other side, away from the toils of this life, away from the pressures of this world, that they're safely in the arms of Jesus. We're not sorrowing for that. We're sorrowing for our loss. That we won't be able to see him anymore on this side. But the thing we need to keep in mind, we will see him again. I think of that song that Brother Terry sings, "There'll Be Another Spring." Amen. There'll be another spring. Hallelujah. My mother-in-law, she gave instructions to the family. She says if she passes before the Lord comes, she says, "I don't want no funeral." She says, "I don't want no funeral. I don't want a bunch of people parading past my casket, looking at me and everything." She said, "Just keep it at a modest cost and just get the burial done, and then have a memorial service at the church." And she said, like a celebration, thanking God I went on home. I thought that was really something. But we're here for a purpose, and if that purpose, what if we, well, for a long time, I'll tell you this, give you an example from my own life. For a long time, I ran from preaching. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to be a preacher, let alone be a pastor. And not putting any stars on myself, but going along with this message, what if I would have said, "No, Lord, I am not going to go to Dixon"? That was 17 years ago. What if I'd have rejected? The Lord said, "Launch out. Leave your family. Leave everything you have and everything you know. Go to a place that you don't know, to people you don't know, completely away from your family and everything else. Go there. And I'm going to put you through it, boy." "You're going to go through the ringer." And I said, "Forget that. I don't want that. But I went through a lot of times of the Lord, what we call a good whipping, God whipping me. Let me fall flat on my face and everything else. The more I tried to run, the harder it got for me. Yeah. The prophet said the ways of a transgressor are hard. I tell you what, it got hard on me. But God allows you, sometimes he will test your faith. And I tell you what, he's got a way of educating you. He's got a way of educating you. One old-time evangelist, a teacher I've known years ago, Brother Joseph Hankins, he said that experience is a hard teacher. It gives you the test first and the lesson later. But thinking of that, if Peter hadn't those that were with him, his brother, and then James and John, if they hadn't obeyed Jesus, they'd have said, "Now hold on. We know there ain't no fish out there, so we ain't doing it. We're tired. I just want to go home. It's been a bad, bad day. I've just had a horrible day at work, and I just want to go home. I'm tired." But there was something about, there had to have been something about Jesus and about his presence and about what they had heard while he preached. See, the one thing that I believe that made Peter and them obey God and say, at thy word, and obey the Lord Jesus, was because they actually took something out of what he had just preached. They got something out of the sermon. They didn't just walk out of church afterwards and within a matter of 5 minutes, they totally forgot anything that was preached. Something he said stuck. It said, now we do know what we're talking about, but nevertheless, at thy word, something had to be there to get them to say, but at thy word. Pardon me. A little dry up here this morning. We are faced with tests. Brother Ram says God loves to put our faith to the test. He said the reason he had told Peter and them to go ahead and launch out there where there weren't no fish, he says because he wanted to teach them something. And it wasn't just teaching them something about fishing. It had nothing to do with literal fishing that he was teaching them. But he was teaching them something that they would need for the days to come. He was teaching them something they would need for the years to come. He was, you know, you look at the end of Peter's life, and Peter was going to be crucified for the word. And Peter said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. He said, hang me upside down. And so they put Peter's cross upside down, and he was hung on a cross. This was the start. That was the end. But what he learned at the beginning kept him all the way through the end and kept him to where when it come down to the time of death, he still remained on what he believed, was willing to die for it. Every trial that Peter faced in his life, he learned faith here that where there were no fish, God put fish. How did those fish get there? Brother Brown said God could have created those fish. Or God could have called in the fish. He said it doesn't matter. Look, if God said go out there and let down your net for the draught, then there was going to be a draught of fish come. It didn't matter whether they weren't there. There were going to be. And so Peter learned something here, and James and John, and they learned something here by obeying his word and trusting God. That he could make all things possible. He could make the impossible possible. And God puts us through tests. And we go through those tests what to learn. It's tests of faith. And you know, your faith grows as you go through these tests. And I can tell you this, if you're going through a test, then you need to take your faith and place it into God's hands. There was a little boy one time that had a loaf of bread and 5 fish in his hand. That's all it was. But when it got into God's hand, when it got into the hands of the master, it fed a multitude. It's like a song years ago. I remember my dad singing, little is much when God is in it. God can take the little bit you've got and turn it into a great testimony for him. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, one of the purposes that each one of us has is for our life to be a reflection of Jesus. For our life to be a reflection of his word. And there's many ways in which that happens. Some of your life will be a reflection of what when Jesus said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And pointed at those that were there believing on him. And he said, these are my mother and brother and sister. In other words, this is my family. We preached on that one time. For some of you, that's what your life is a testimony reflection of. God has some of you to be mothers, to reflect that part of him. Fathers, to reflect that part of him. Brother Ram said God even has some he calls to be farmers. He's got some he calls to be factory workers. He's got some he calls to be, why? To be a reflection of him at those places. You ever wonder why that when you really get into a job to where it seems like, you, not that you're necessarily so getting blessed, but it's like, well, I enjoy doing this job. Boy, this really, it's like I got a natural talent for it. It's because God put that in you. Well, my grandmother Brown, my mom's mother, passed away here a couple of years ago, and they asked me to speak at her funeral. And actually, it was me my brother and a cousin of mine, the three of us were ministers, and so we just were going to say what was on our hearts. As it turned out, my cousin, who was a preacher, he was the one to end up actually preaching the sermon. Each of us took a different part of the service, and we didn't plan it. That's just what we felt in our hearts. We got up there, three of us. We didn't know what the other one was going to do. But that's just the way it went. And I got up and I told the people what a testimony my grandmother had been to my life. How I enjoyed, as I grew up, talking to her about the Word. And about her reading her Bible. And about how her walk with the Lord and her faith being such a testimony to me. And I told him, I said, and she was the best biscuit maker ever in this world. And I still holds true. I know my mom will listen to this later. I know my wife will hear it. My grandmother's the best biscuit maker ever. She made that, man, they was giant biscuits, you know. They was, what do they call them, cathead biscuits, you know? And they stood about like that tall, and it's about like that big around. Oh, my. Everything she made tastes good. Mama said, you know why some of her stuff tastes so good? I said, why? She said, you got a bucket of lard underneath the cabinet. And, you know, you say, well, what in the world could that be? Why would God be so interested in somebody, a mother or somebody, you know, being, and of course I'm sure everyone thinks their mom's a good cook. That wouldn't be right if you didn't think that. Of course, maybe some of them say, hey, I just ain't no cook at all. I know I've got a relative that she doesn't really do much or any of the cooking. Her husband does all the cooking. He seems to have the talent for it. And sometimes that happens. But you think, what is making food or eating food or having food, what in the world has it got to do with anything? How many gatherings that we read about in the scriptures with Jesus that food was involved? You know, when you get around the table of family, and mama served out the food, you know, and you know, she'll try to make everybody's favorite. If you're having a big family dinner, she tries to think of everybody, what their favorite is, and try to make their favorite dish. And you sit around, and you know what? There's something about when you're enjoying what you're eating, why you'll be real civil with the company you got. You say, what in the world's this got to do with anything? What's this got to do with the message of an hour? We'll get to that. You'll see. Brother Abraham said, God never borrows nothing from you what he won't pay it back a hundredfold. Whatever God asks of you, look at the woman that had the little boy, prophet came. She said, I got just enough meal and just enough oil to make me and him a cake, and then we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And he said, make me a cake first. Did not she get paid a hundredfold over? God's not going to ask anything of you, friends. I'm going to tell you, listen, he's not going to ask anything of you and then not bless you. He'll bless you if you obey. Maybe you've got a sickness in your life. Maybe your test is something to do with you need healing. Then what God's cry to you today is launch out into the depths of faith. With faith, believe that God will heal you. My mother-in-law's sister recently came to visit them up there in Ohio, and she was in for a sister-in-law's funeral, and then she got a hold of my mother-in-law, her sister, her baby sister, said, I want to go to church with you and Bill. Now, she had known them for years. She knew, and here her sister, Angie, she's a Catholic. The whole family was raised Catholic. And they knew that my father-in-law, mother-in-law, Bill and Mary, they knew that they weren't following the Catholic religion. And all these years, none of them had ever said, I want to go to church with you. But you know, just last year, my mother-in-law and father-in-law went out to California to visit, and they've stayed with her for a little while. And my father-in-law, he's kind of an individual that, you know, he can't just take a seat and say, see long. He's, you know, after a while, he's got to have something to do. He's got to do something. So he got up and got busy and cleaned her bathroom, scrubbed her floors, and was cleaning all throughout her house net. And, you know, she kind of has a hard time getting around. And he was doing all this, and she said she couldn't get over what to hear a guest would come and do that. And she thanked him, you know, and praised him for how she said, I've never had anybody come over here and do that for me. That little act meant something. To a degree to where when she came back here to visit in Ohio, she said, I want to go to church with you. And so she went. They introduced her in the service. And my brother was preaching. And after the service, she said, asked my mother-in-law, said, where's Brother Samuel at? She said, well, he's probably in the back changing or something. She says, well, I just want to see him. She said, because he's something special about him. She says, I just want to touch him. Now, you know she's Catholic. So you see where some of that comes. But I looked at it and I thought about the woman one time that had the issue of blood. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garments. And I thought about Paul, when his shadow would pass over him, they was healed. They would take piece of material off the clothes of Paul and send it and put it on people and said when they placed it on him, if they were sick, they were healed. If they had an evil spirit, that evil spirit left them. It wasn't virtue in the man. It wasn't virtue in the material. There was no virtue in the hem of Jesus' garment. But they launched out into faith and believed in the virtue of Almighty God. Preached somewhere one time and there was a man that come to me after the service. I always have a handkerchief, and I used to, when I was a lot younger, I seemed like I used to sweat a lot when I preached. My dad would always say, I don't know why you and your brother sweat so much. Why don't you just get up there and preach? And I don't know, maybe some of the things with my age and that, I don't move around like I used to. But anyway, I had this handkerchief and this brother come back there and he said, brother, he said, I would like to have that handkerchief. And that thing was soaked with sweat where I had been wiping it off. And I reached over my briefcase. I said, wait a minute here. I've got another one. I said, it ain't. And he said, no, I want the one you used. He said, I got a grandson and said, he's got some mental problems. He said, and I want that just the way it is for you, for him, he said. I was preaching over the Philippines one time. And, you know, when I got done preaching, well, I had a T-shirt on and another dress shirt. And we were going to be going some other places after I got done preaching there. And so I had a shirt to change into, and where we preached, why one of the brothers he kind of watched over their church building. He lived in the upstairs. There was an apartment up in the back of the church. And he lived there and kind of took, he was like the caretaker of it. And he said I could go up to where he lived and change my shirt. And I went up there and I told him, I said, brother, I'm not going to take this with me. I mean, it was just so drenched with sweat. And usually when I I'm going overseas, I try to, well, I'll go to Walmart and I'll go to Goodwill and I'll go to these different places and buy some shirts and things, you know, to wear. And that way if something happens to them, well, it just happens to them. I don't worry about it. And so I told him, I said, I'm not going to take the shirt. I said, if you want to wash it up, I said, maybe somebody could use it. I said, I mean, it looked like a bucket of water had been poured over me. And he said, no, brother, I'm going to cut this up into prayer cloths and give it out to the people. It had nothing to do with me. But you know what it was? They had witnessed the presence of God. And they had heard not the voice of Jerry Browning, but they heard the voice of God speaking to them. They heard something that quickened something within them. And they said they knew God had been there with them. It ain't the virtue in the man. But the thing was, then you think about it. How many prayer cloths could they make out of a button-up dress shirt and a T-shirt? They could make a lot of prayer cloths out of it. And I thought, Lord, no telling where all they went throughout the Philippines. And, you know, as a human, many times you think, well, when I went to that place to preach, the purpose of God was for me to just be there and just preach that sermon. And once I got done preaching, the purpose that God sent me there was over. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. The purpose God sent me there for kept blessing the people, kept helping the people. You don't know what one little thing you might do, how it might affect someone else. That when God tells you to do something that seems like it makes no sense, seems like, well, how in the world could that help anything? But if you'll just do whatever he tells you, you may not know what purpose it served or how it helped somebody. Like I read that little writing to you last Sunday, there'll be a day coming. You'll be on the other side, and there'll be somebody come up to you and tell you, say, brother or sister, one time you done such and such, and what you really helped me, and that strengthened me. They were about ready to just quit. And one little thing you did. I know in this day and age, it's got where when you go out there in places, a lot of people will just say, love you. And it just kind of throw it out there more like, hi. You know, it's just words. But when somebody really tells you, I love you, and they mean it. Brother Bram said it don't take you long to know they mean it. He said if they say it, they don't mean it, it won't take you long to know they don't mean it. And maybe someone going through something and you just walk up to them, and maybe after the service you may have shook their hand, maybe put your hand on their shoulder and say, brother or sister or whatever, said, I just want to tell you, we love you. We missed you last Sunday. And I love you, brother, and appreciate you. You don't know what that does. How that it helps them, maybe through a trial that they're going to face that next week. But you just felt a little something. It wasn't something you just done nonchalantly, but you felt a little something. I just want to go over. I need to say something to them. And that was the Lord leading you. And you listen to that little voice, that still small voice. You obey the Lord. One time, I had preached somewhere and God laid it on a brother's heart. It had blessed him, the service of what I had preached. It helped him. So much God put on his heart. He found out my address, and I didn't know any of this until I got a card in the mail. And I had that card, you know, and I've told many about this before. I had it, and I had it sitting on the up on a little shelf we got on in the kitchen. And I had it sitting up there. You know how you'll take a card out of the envelope and set it up so you can see it. And I had it sitting there. And I was out one Sunday morning, and I would come over to the little island there in the kitchen, and I was drinking some coffee, and I told my wife, I said, I got no idea what the Lord wants me to preach this morning. And I was just standing there, and I happened to look up at that card, and on the front of that card it said, the ministry of Christ in you. And it took off from there. And I thought, this brother was blessed. So he in turn sent something to show his appreciation. And then in turn that got turned into something that blessed other people. Hallelujah. Now, if I knew all the examples out of Brother Gene's life, I'd be telling you all of them instead of ones out of my own. But if we wanted to hear those, we'd have to hear from Brother Gene. I don't know them all. You understand that. That's just to check that spirit. Say, well, Brother Jerry, just up there lifting up yourself. No, I'm not. Never have. I want to lift up the Lord Jesus. God has sent us a message in this last day, friends, that introduced Jesus Christ to us. A message that was to get us ready to go in a rapture. A message that was to bring us into the stature of a perfect man. A message that was to bring about a baptism of the Holy Ghost upon his bride. A message that called out his bride. A message that identifies not only Jesus Christ, but identifies his characteristics in you, the bride. Amen. And in order to reap the benefits of this message, you've got to launch out into the depths of the word, into the depths of this message. You know, when you stay in shallow water, any little movement you make, why it splashes around and just any little movement causes something. You get on out into the deep, little movement don't really make any difference or any ripples in the water. It's time that we launch out. Listen to this. This first part of this is called the Mark of the Beast, the message of Mark of the Beast. First part is to show you where we're at. He said, United States will come to a time that the church and state will unite together. And Protestants and Catholics will throw their things together to fight communists. That's exactly playing into the hands of what God said right here. We're at that time. Now, it doesn't seem to be like it was from the 1950s through the 1980s, early 80s, or I guess 50s and 70s, 60s and 70s, where communism was such a thing that, and everybody was so afraid of it and so afraid of being attacked and so afraid of it, and they built bomb shelters and all kinds of other things, Now we've got into this laxy-daisy thing. Why? Soviet Union don't even exist anymore. Brother Branham never said anything about the Soviet Union when he prophesied. He said Russia. And they're still alive and well. And I'll tell you what, their leader is not afraid of the leader of the United States. And then you've got communist China and many other smaller countries. And then you've got the Muslim religion, which is a contrast to the Catholicism. Watch how these different religions will begin to band together. The Pope just recently said that all these major religions, he says, they're all just a different path to the same God. What's happening? Mama's calling her daughters home. We're all right. We're all the same. Come on home. The mark of the beast. That's where he said that at in that message. The mark of the beast. But listen here. He says further. Says, and you Protestants laying yonder. He said, a fussing at one another about these little petty things that don't matter that much. And I thought, with all the depth of the word that's came to us in this last day and what God has sent to us, are we still splashing around up in the shallow water over petty things? Little petty feelings? I know you don't like me belittling your feelings. But I ain't finished reading this quote yet either. He said, fussing at one another over little petty things that don't matter much. And he snaps his finger. You ought to be on your knees somewhere if you knew what eternity meant. Now, my take from that is, he's saying, get the big picture. Quit looking at all these little petty things. Broaden out your view here a little bit and realize that it ain't all about you. We need, friends, listen, if we're going in this rapture and we've launched out into the deep, we need to forgive people even when they don't ask us to forgive them. We need to stop holding these little petty grudges and hurt feelings. I got my feelings hurt, so I want to tell everybody about it so they'll feel sorry for me. I was in the right. This person hurt my feelings in the wrong. Well, you're being a big old baby. I don't care if you were right and they were wrong. Quit being a baby about it. Launch on out. The problem you're having is you're staying around in the shallow waters and making a big splash here or there. Get on out there. Realize that that ain't what this is about. This church gathering isn't about that. Us gathering in this building is about getting ready to go in a rapture. Us gathering here is about you getting dressed with the word of God. This bride taking what's given to her and making herself ready. That's what this is about. It ain't about me settling all your little family fusses. It's not about, you know what? You need to get over it. I feel about this one that way. This one done me that way. I'm going to tell you what, friends. You're not alone. You are not alone. You ought to try living 24/7 with somebody who's done something terrible about you. You ought to try that. That's what I'm currently doing. Every day. Well, I don't want to see it in person, so I won't go to Brother Jerry's house. What about Brother Jerry? He's got to see the person every cotton picking day. Grow up. No, there's no trouble between me and my wife. You think that ain't a test? I got somebody who went and told a big old lie about the family and got DCS all over us. It happened back in December, and we've been living through it, and we're still living through it. Told a lie. Why? Because they don't want to live like this no more. They want me to let them go somewhere else so they can live how they want to live, wear what they want to wear. You think when we sit down at the table, we don't feed that one? They get fed along with everybody else. You think when we go out to the restaurant, we leave that behind? We don't take that one. We don't say, you can't have nothing. No, they go along with us, go right wherever we're going, order whatever they want off the menu, just like everybody else. When we buy candy and snacks for the house, we don't say, no, you can't have none of these. No, they're for everybody. Sure, I got to deal with my feelings. Sure, I got to deal with how I feel, how betrayed the family feels, and deal with how devious the spirit is on this individual. You ever look somebody in the face and you can just see it? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, Brother Pugh? Yes, sir. You look somebody and you just see that right there. That ain't, listen, friends, I'm not complaining. I'm telling you, God's putting me through a test, but I still come here and I still preach to you every Sunday. I get up and I'll get up that after I leave out of here today, I'll leave out of here thinking, Lord, because here lately, the Lord, you know, usually I preach things in series and I'll have a part 1, 2, and 3, sometimes all the way up to part 8 or 10. So I know from one Sunday to the next where we're going, what subject's going to be on, which way we're going with it. Since December, I ain't had a clue. From one service to the next. Go back and look. Ask Brother Todd. How many part 1s and 2s and 3s and 4s I've preached? I think I might have preached maybe 1, part 1 and 2 on something. I don't know from one Sunday. I leave out of here today and I'm going to be, Lord, what do you got for have me to help the people next Sunday? I don't come here to scold you. I don't come here to get all over you and fire, you know, just rake you down over the coals. That ain't what I come here for. I come here that you'll get blessed, that you'll get helped. And I'm telling you what I'm telling you today, I'm trying to get you to a place where you can get blessed. Brother Adam said, he was praying here. Let's see. No, right before that, he says, no, he is praying. He said, God, let every man and woman this morning that has this hope in them purify themselves from the things of the world and these little petty things that would drag them down and keep them miserable. Let them be happy. I want to ask you, and look, we ain't here singling nobody out. I'm out here only preaching to one family, one individual. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. You ask Brother Phil, the times you can stand here and you're preaching and you know why you're preaching it, there's a part of you might as well be sitting out there in that pew with everybody else because you preach to yourself too. And you got to say it. Then amen it, and then go do it, and it's all coming out of your mouth. So don't let that feeling get on you. Well, he's just singling me out in his service. Somebody's been talking to him. Ain't nobody been talking to me. Let me make that clear, except for the Lord Jesus. He placed this message on my heart. And these quotes I'm bringing to you right now, I didn't get those till this morning sitting back in the office. It said, and these little petty things that would drag them down and keep them miserable, let them be happy. I want to ask you, with all these little things and everything, have you been happy? Have you been happy? Do you stay happy when you're holding something against the individual, holding some kind of grudge because that individual, you think he done something, maybe not to you, but to somebody else? Does that make you happy? Are you happy? You're miserable. I'll tell you something. This bride's getting ready to launch out of here. And we ain't going to different dinner tables. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray God to set some of y'all side by side. You ain't going to a different place. You say, well, they're the problem. Right there, I see the problem. I can tell you this individual in my family right now is the problem. The thing is, though, am I going to let them be the problem? Am I going to let them affect everything in my life? Am I going to let them decide whether I'm happy or not? Don't you don't think the devil don't ride on me every week? He does hard. In the last couple weeks, I think I've been feeling the spurs. Depressed? Sometimes that ain't even hardly a word to describe it. But you know what? If I take the situation and look at it by faith and I'm trusting God, amen. And this is what I'm trusting God in this. The truth always makes itself known.
Amen.
Praise God. A lie has no strength. The more it's told, the weaker it gets. The more the truth is told, the stronger it gets. Have faith. Say, God's got this thing in hand. Maybe instead of accusing one another, you need to get on your knees and pray for one another. Isn't that what he said? Get on your knees somewhere if you knew what eternity meant. It's time we got rid of all these little old tiny fusses and stuff over this or that and the other. It ain't easy for me to say because I'm going to tell you something. Everything ain't going the way I want it to go right now in my house. Everything ain't like I want it to be. But he never promised me that it ever all would be what I want it to be. I figure he's educating the family. It's a test of faith. And I'll be honest with you. I like the tests of faith that are like this. Here today and gone tomorrow. But when you got one that seems to drag on and on and on and on. Things seem like they ain't getting better. Sometimes it's because of the way we're looking at it.
Amen.
Listen to this, and I'm going to close. It's in a message, Enticing Spirits. Sometimes just reading the title means a lot. Enticing Spirits. With our heads bowed just a moment, I wonder if there's someone here this morning would say, Brother Branham, I'm sick and tired of these little old things. I got petty things that's hung on me so long. I'm always talking out of turn. I'm doing things I shouldn't do. I know it's not becoming to a Christian. I don't want to do that. God knows I don't. And I don't want to listen to that old spirit anymore. It's the thing that's kept me down all my life. From having real love and freedom in Christ. I want you to pray for me, Brother Branham, that they'll leave me this day. Will you raise your hand? He said, every head bowed. God bless you. Dozens of hands. Little old petty things. Little old things that makes you talk or start some kind of little fuss in the church. Makes you take sides with somebody or something or other like that. Oh, that's ungodly. That's discord among brethren. And don't do that. You don't want that. You don't want that. You know, sometimes as a father, when my older children was growing up, we had, you know, two boys and two girls. And our two oldest ones seemed like some reason or other they was always having a fuss between them. And so I'd come in and see they was fussing one another. You know how I took care of it? I said, y'all get over and sit beside each other on the couch and hold hands. Why? I was trying my best to teach them to get along. And I felt it was probably the worst punishment I could give them. I'll tell you what. And I know you've heard this. You say, well, so-and-so just rubs me the wrong way. Well, I got two things to say to that. One, maybe some of you needs to be rubbed off. And two people that are like two peas in a pod usually do rub each other the wrong way. Me and my oldest boy, we've had our times. And I know he can't see it, but as he gets older and I watch him and different things he does and what he says and things like that and how he reacts to things, my wife even looks, shakes her head, and she says he has no idea how much like you he is. He had him a job down in Florida. It was going real good. As long as they had him in the rich neighborhoods selling these security systems, he was doing real good. Then they wanted to diversify, get him out into some of the other areas where the, among other ethnic groups and so on. And it wasn't going so good, and it was getting hard and a lot of pressure and everything else. He wasn't making the money anymore, and he just decided one Sunday, I'm done. And he didn't wait 2, 3, 4 days a week. He decided that day, they packed that day, and he left that day. And my wife said, oh my goodness, how much like you he is. When he makes up his mind to do something, he don't wait around to do it, he just jumps in and does it. Sometimes we've butted heads. Me and my dad, I'm going to tell you what, my dad just turned 74 years old. I'm 53, and there's times me and him, even yet today, will butt heads. Mom says it's because both of you are alike. She says, what difference does it make which one of you two is right? And you know what? Last time it happened, I held a hard feeling in my heart for quite a while. I'll be honest, I held a hard feeling in my heart for quite a while. And there was quite a while I didn't really even want to go visit him. And then the Lord began to work on me. And I'm going to tell you how the Lord is. The Lord, he don't care whose fault it is. Listen to me now. I done put my watch away. I done folded up my Bible. I done clipped up my notes. So I'm leaving. Brother Nathaniel, get ready to come on up here. You musicians, come on up so they'll know I'm quitting. God don't care whose fault it is. He don't care who was in the wrong and who was in the right. What he cares is that both of you should be reflecting the love of Jesus Christ. And love will overlook faults. Love can overlook the fact that you are so much alike. You know what it is? It's hard dealing with self. It's hard dealing with yourself. Come on, say amen to somebody. And then when you put self in another set of shoes and have to deal with them, buddy, that's real hard because now it ain't the mirror. Now it's the real imagery. And I'm telling you, I know this by experience. You say, that don't apply to me. Wake up. Because those are little petty things that we need to get settled. Hard feelings and different little things like this. I don't. So-and-so, they've done this or that. Somebody in my family, and so I feel this at them, and I don't think they've done right. Is it any of your business? I'm going to tell you something. My mom don't ever call me up. I don't know whether they have any, you know, anything going on with my brother, or my brother has any run-ins with my dad. You know, well, I know he does. My brother don't call me up and say, man, I tell you what. I say, yeah, I know it. No, we don't do that. Mom don't call me up and say, well, I tell you, your brother. Or dad called me up and, boy, I tell you, your brother. Your brother did this and that and the other. My dad has never, ever in my life, since my brother has been, even since my brother's been adult, called me up and said, your brother's doing this and that, and I'll tell you, he just really got me upset, blah, 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 blah. That's between him and my brother. It ain't between me, him, and my brother. If you're doing that, you're doing wrong. That's what he said. You're causing dissension, discord. If you need to talk about it to somebody, talk about it to God. And if you need God to be in flesh, then come talk to me. Because that's what he put me here for. That's why I placed the pastor. And I guarantee if you come talk to me, you're going to hear more of the same of what you heard today. Let's stand. Thank you.
Is good.